Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Gateway Church. And it's a beautiful, beautiful day outside. And before we begin, I just want to ask you a question. How many of you this morning have been ever experienced uncontrolled emotions in your life? Anyone here? Yeah, lots of you. Well, if you have, you need to take refuge. And that's the title of our message this morning. And in terms of introduction, uncontrolled emotions are a powerful influence over our behavior. And when consumed with mismanaged enthusiasm or anger or jealousy or some other strong feelings, we tend to make careless decisions and act unwisely. And for this reason and others, scriptures often stress the importance of self-control so that we do not create messy situations for ourselves and for those people around us. So as revealed in Psalm 34, this was the case with David. On the run from jealous Saul and gripped with fear, David foolishly fled to an unlikely place, Gath, the home of Goliath, the 10-foot giant whom David had recently killed. And when the servants of the king recognized him, David devised a plan of survival. He pretended to be insane, scratching on the doors, drooling from his beard. And the king ejected him from the palace, and clever David escaped to a cave. And eventually, 400 of his men, of Israel's outcasts, gathered with David, forming an army with him. And you can see that story in 1 Samuel 21. A lot of the Psalms can relate back to Samuel. And while there, David wrote this psalm that we're looking into this morning to celebrate the Lord's deliverance and instruct his tattered band of soldiers to fear the Lord. So thankfully, the Lord comes to our aid when our emotions overpower us and motivate us to act foolishly. And far too often, we're controlled by our old nature rather than by the Holy Spirit. But God is faithful to us when we are in trouble, even trouble that we've created for ourselves. And this is the message of Psalm 34. What to do when God delivers you from a fearful situation? Well, number one, we see in verses 1 and 2 is that we are to praise the Lord. And number 2, in verses 3 to 7, we're to invite the afflicted and the helpless to exalt the Lord with you. And then number 3, we're in verses 8 to 10, we're to invite others to taste in God's goodness as well. And verses 11 to 14, we're to teach our children to fear the Lord and to encourage the righteous in verses 15 to. So first, let's look at praise the Lord. God had gone to, had done great things for David. Therefore, he declared that he would bless the name of the Lord. In blessing the Lord, David expressed his respect, his gratitude to God. And although David had just been delivered from Achish, he promised to bless the Lord in every circumstance of his life, the bad as well as the good, in every season of life, positive, negative, joyful, painful, happy, sad. David was determined to worship the Lord and praise his name. And this is a good example for us too, because he praised the name in every situation of life. And I don't know if we always do that, where we praise his name. We praise his name often when things are good, but when things are negative or they're painful or they're sad, we don't always do that. But David, he was confident that his praise not only would lift himself up, but it would encourage the men that were around him. So David had encouraged them, the ones that were gathered in the cave, who were probably depressed and discouraged because of the circumstances of their lives at that existing time. So David was determined to lift their spirits by boasting about the Lord's power and his faithfulness. So here he was. He was under all sorts of distress. The Lord answered his prayer. And then immediately what he did was he invited others and he encouraged others because he knew that his walk with God would encourage others. So we should follow David's example in every season. It is easy to bless the Lord when all is well or he does marvelous things for us. It's not so easy to bless the Lord when we suffer or we have loss or affliction. Yet, Scripture commands us to give thanks in every circumstance, knowing that God's will is being accomplished in our life. We should follow his example of encouraging the downhearted, our communities, our churches, our neighborhoods, our schools, places of employment, people are overflowing with crushed or heavy burdens of life. And what we can do is we could be like David. We could be an example that in spite of our circumstances, that we could be people who will give and we will give well. So we can never overestimate the power of an encouraging word. So like David, we should purpose to cheer the depressed by pointing them to the Lord, sharing our own testimonies of God's faithfulness and power in our own lives. A joyful believer, folks, is a powerful tool in the hand of God, one that he can repair many wounded spirits with. So be determined like a Barnabas, which means encourager. Number two is invite the afflicted and the helpless to exalt the Lord with you. Overflowing with gratitude for God's deliverance, David invited his distraught comrades to join him in praising God. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together, he says. David wanted to celebrate God with others. He wanted his disheartened friends to know that God could do for them what he had done for David. And as they joined him in lifting up the Lord, David knew that the spirits of his companions would also be lifted up. Oh my goodness, what a beautiful, beautiful story this is. And because you sought the Lord, he delivered you from all your fears. David, he had already experienced a number of terrors in his life. A lion, a bear, a giant pagan warrior. Now the jealous, unstable king of his own nation was pursuing him. Most recently, he had foolishly fled into the enemy territory where he found himself staring right in the eyes of Gath's king and his guards. And in each one of these terrifying circumstances, David's life was on the line, gripped by the gravity of the situation at hand. David sought the Lord, earnestly asking for the Lord's guidance and his protection. And in every case before him, God heard and he answered him by giving him strength and guidance. In verse 5, it tells us that those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Did you hear me? That those who look to him, their faces are radiant, never covered in shame. God guided David to victory. And verse 7 tells us that the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear. And as David stood against his opponent, he wasn't alone. The angel of the Lord was with him. Throughout the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord sometimes refers to the Lord Jesus in his pre-incarnate appearance. That is a visible appearance of God's Son before he came to earth. There's all sorts of scriptures in your notes that you have that support that you could look at. His powerful angelical messengers surround us, and this is why we should earnestly seek the Lord, asking him to show us what to do. We should take our eyes off the magnitude of our problem and fix them on the Lord, who is greater than our crisis. We should be encouraged, displaying confident joy by knowing that that God will deliver us. We should remember that we are not in this fight alone, but God's angels are at our side to protect us. Invite others to taste God's goodness. David enjoyed God's goodness in many ways throughout his young life. Even while Saul relentlessly pursued him, the Lord showered David with blessings after blessings. Trust, taste, and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is he who takes refuge in him. If we want to receive God's goodness, we must first trust him. In seeking the Lord, we will enjoy all the riches found in him. God knows what we need. Our deepest needs are spiritual. Did you hear what I said? It's not things, it's spiritual. And David was saying that to have God is to have all that we really need. God is enough. Did you hear me? And as David taught, walking in the fear of the Lord can be summarized in three simple principles. Guard your words. Speak righteously and truthfully. Guard your conduct. Shun evil and do good. Guard the way you treat others. Pursue peace and not conflict. These principles are so crucial that the Holy Spirit repeated them in the New Testament. inspiring Peter to include them in his first epistle. It says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 11, it says, "Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessings, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it." The benefits of righteous living are tremendous. When we choose to walk in the Lord, we position ourselves to receive the blessings God has promised to those who trust and obey Him. God promises His great blessings to His people. But many of those blessings require our active participation. He will deliver us from fear. He will save us out of our troubles. He will guard and deliver us. Trust. Show us goodness. Supply our needs. Listen when we talk to Him and redeem us. But we must do our part as well. Anyone who loves the Lord will obey my teaching. Amen. Amen. God is so good. Amen. Could you turn it?